It is News Talk to be. So lobby group Family First has blamed unmarried couples for child poverty. What do you think? We'll take more of your calls shortly, but from Family First, we have Bob Mee Coskrie is with us. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
How did you come to get this result from the research from an Australian data?
Well, let's put it in context. Firstly, that heading is completely misleading. We're not blaming anybody. We're simply looking at what are the driving forces for child poverty and inequality, which I think we all want the solution to, right? And so what's happened is that generally the finger is pointed at unemployment. It's at low wages and we need a living wage. It's at housing costs and it's about increasing benefits. What we simply wanted to do, and the reason we commissioned the report, was to say, well, what role does family structure, family breakdown play in causing child poverty? And what the report says is that there's a much greater risk of being living in poverty if there is a solo parent or if living in cohabiting parents. And, I mean, just to give you an example, in 1961, 95% of children were born to married couples, right? Last year, the proportion had fallen to 53%. But what is significant is that amongst Māori, 72% of births were to married parents in 1968. Last year, it was just 21%. And so the chance of a family struggling financially is far greater when there is a solo parent. And also cohabiting parents also are a middle group because of the increased likelihood of parental separation.
You've said this is the elephant in the room. Are you suggesting we don't talk enough about family breakdowns as one cause of child poverty in New Zealand?
Exactly. And look, I've seen left-wing reports, think tanks, and I've seen right-wing think tanks put out reports on child poverty, and you will never see them mention the role that solo parents, cohabiting, marriage plays. The only time we talk about marriage is when we want to be politically correct and redefine it, but otherwise we don't. And part of the reason that Lindsay Mitchell, who wrote the report, who's not part of Family First, is not religious, we just went to her because she'd done a huge amount of research in this area, is she had to look at a lot of international studies like Australia, UK and the US, because New Zealand doesn't keep a lot of research on de facto couples and breakdown. One of the few studies we found was actually out of Christchurch, which of course is Professor David Ferguson's study, which in his study he found that for cohabiting couples, the chance of breakup by the time the child was five was four times greater than a married couple. So it's this type of information that we want to put into the debate. And when people talk about child poverty and inequality, we just think that it's about time we also discussed instability of families and breakdown and cohabitation and single parent as being risk factors. I mean, 51% of children in poverty live in single-parent families. Now, that's not condemning those families. I think single parents do an amazing job, but we have to be honest enough to admit that it's not the ideal situation, and we want to encourage people to be in committed, stable relationships before having children.
That appears to be something that is not happening, though. Aren't you trying to, I mean, I understand what you're doing, you're raising this as an awareness, but that's just not the reality. Do you think we can turn the clock back, to speak, though?
Yeah, well, I think it's not the reality because we haven't been honest enough. You know, part of the problem is that immediately by saying this, it's deemed to be criticising. You know, I've seen, like, the stuff.co.nz website says, you know, we're blaming unmarried couples for child poverty. It's nothing to do with blaming. It's to do with identifying what are the risk factors. Because if we want to solve a problem, we have to identify what is driving that child poverty. Now, our argument is that as long as our de facto rates and our solo parent rates keep increasing and that our marriage rates decrease, we're going to see more child poverty and we're going to see more inequality because of the fact that, I mean, for example, single parents have the lowest home ownership rates and the highest debt ratios. It's that much tougher. Any couple that has broken up will tell you that it is a huge financial burden. In fact, they then need two houses, not one house. There's been some anecdotal evidence that some of the demand for housing in areas is being driven by a breakdown of families and the need for two houses for one family. Now, that type of stuff, we talk about unemployment, low wages and housing costs and benefits, but nobody is actually looking at one of the major culprits, which is family malformation, and we're saying that's the lack of two married, committed parents.
Two married parents.
It's not really rocket science, is it?
No, it's not. Others, though, would say you're being unfair, though. Plenty of people on Facebook have said they're sole parents and their
doing
child...
a great job.
And, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, there are. And look, there are families who rise above their circumstances, but at the same time, I don't think any of those families set out to do it this way and are probably the first to admit that it just got that much harder, but they've risen above the adversity. So, look, it's not a condemnation in any way, but it's simply saying what are the risk factors. I mean, that's like saying that someone who's unemployed is, you know, a scourge on society. I don't hear left-wing groups implying that. They're saying unemployment is a risk factor. We agree. High housing costs is a risk factor. We agree. But family formation and the breakdown of family is one of the key elements. We would argue it's a major culprit. And look, for anybody who actually reads the full report, the evidence, Lindsay Mitchell, who wrote the report, says the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible.
I would imagine
people commenting on Facebook probably haven't read the report.
I would imagine that you would agree with what Dr. Susan St. John of the Child Poverty Action Group says, that the report ignores the fact that marriage is not always good for women or their children. What is your response to that? That was on the Herald website this morning.
Yeah, there's always the exception. Marriage isn't perfect. I was speaking at an event last night and I said marriage isn't perfect, and the reason is because humans are involved, and whenever humans are involved, it's never going to be perfect. But if you look at outcomes and best practice, marriage the two biological parents of a child do get the best outcomes of all the models that are available. And look, when single parent families make up about 27%, 28% of all families with children, and yet 51% of children in poverty come from these families, that's a disproportionate representation, isn't it? It's the same with Māori. They are more likely to experience poverty as well, but then you look at their marriage rates, 72% of births were to married parents. Last year, just 21% of births in Māori families were to married parents. So we've got to look at the overall picture and the risk factors. Are there exceptions? Of course there are. Are there people that rise above adversity? Of course there is. But we have to look at risk factors. If you smoke, you're more likely to get cancer. Nobody argues with that.
Why is it then, do you think, we don't have this discussion about single parents then enough, in your view?
It's a moral element. And moral relativism basically suspends moral judgments about people's decisions and behaviours. So someone who may be on the sole parent benefit suddenly has another child, and nobody actually says, well, hang on, you're a sole parent, you're receiving a benefit from the state, and yet you're having another child. Nobody asks some of these obvious questions. To identify marriage as beneficial inherently criticises other forms of partnership, and so in the eyes of many, it must be avoided. Unfortunately, we do have to have this debate, and we do have to look at the research and be honest.
Bob, me,
I think the key thing is that now that when people talk about child poverty, family formation and family breakdown are now going to be part of the debate. That's what we ultimately set out to do, was to introduce this factor. People may not agree with us. They may say, well, yeah, it's got a bit of a role, but it's not, as an important factor as we're making it out to be. But the main purpose is to introduce it as a factor, because as you say, it just hasn't been mentioned before.
Nothing wrong with having that discussion, that's for sure. Bob McCoskrie, nice to speak with you. Thanks for your time this morning. Yes.